Hello and welcome to Pro U Podcast, episode number 373. My pit bull is harmless. That's one line from a t-shirt that I own, and I will let you know what the second line of that t-shirt says during this episode. It's just me talking about a typical Tuesday in the life and time of Tommy Lama. Not a typical day. And one of my titles is Just Another Tuesday, hashtag not. But a few tests prior to this Tuesday, and then a big test. And I jumped all in, didn't hesitate. And that happened this past Tuesday, recorded this on the following Sunday, and this came out the following Thursday. So it's about 9 days this comes out after the moment. And I've literally spent, you know, the last few days really thinking about what happened and my actions and the result of it. And, you know, I came to a very balanced place mentally. Like, I understood it, but it wasn't a real good feeling. It just never was. It was something I just would rather not have happened. But I'm going to be me, and there's a part of me that's not going to change. And some people, some listeners, people that know me, like me, friends, that may not understand. But I know in this particular test, I saw all my growth. I saw the new version of me. And then I saw the line that I won't let people cross. And I was okay with it. So when I'm chatting, I said, you know, I never get on the podcast saying things, trying to get listeners, or saying things and not caring if I lose, you know, one way or the other, trying to get listeners or not. I'm just sharing what happened. Like, that's my testament. What I've shared for 5.5 years has happened. I have shared my journey, and I'm proud of that. Like, I don't know a lot of people that just want to open up their lives and just start talking to a bunch of people that they don't know and share a bunch of secret, intimate things and struggles and defeats and mistakes and fears and doubts. And I've done all that. And that's, you know, one of the things I'm proud of. Like, I own this podcast. It's mine. It's my journey. There's one person listening. It wouldn't change it. I would have said what I said, and I feel exactly how I felt about it. And I think that's kind of what I'm selling. Like, if I can get through what I got through and make the choices that I've made and love myself in lieu of my flaws, I think that's a great message for anybody to learn. Thank you for listening. You are appreciated. Enjoy. Hello, hello, hello. How are you doing? I never just ask, how are you? I just start talking, don't I? How rude. Forgive me. Time changed. Twas 8:30. Now it's 7:30, just like that. And it was, I think, a good thing today to wake up and go, oh, hey, I get an extra hour. Because I typically need to get into kind of a headspace to record. It's not typically a big process, but, you know, I take care of Zen. We do the run walk. I have some coffee. But if I'm not completely sure what to say, I'll kind of, I mean, I don't think it's really procrastinating. But I'll, like, you know, make sure some stuff is clean in the house or organized or put away. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to put one coat of polyurethane on that frame or whatever. You know, I'll just do kind of little things until I'm like, okay, I know what to say. Or I'm just not, like, in that headspace yet. and I really know almost, well, this is episode 373. I would say the last 200. I always kind of get to the same place when I start. I'm like, okay, I know what to say, and boom. So it's a familiar feeling, state of being when I start the podcast. But as you know, I'm an empath and I feel. So if I'm talking about something that's uncomfortable, I start going, okay, what am I going to talk about? Oh, I'm going to talk about that uncomfortable thing. And immediately I start feeling uncomfortable. The story I'm about to share, this will be the third time I've shared it. And I never felt better after I shared it the first two times. So it's not like this real feel-good thing, but I kind of want to stick to being consistent. And that's really being, you know, transparent and sharing everything, you know, good and bad. So this is, again, it's nothing that I'm proud of, but it did happen. A day in the life of Tommy Lama. So the title, my pitbull is harmless, is the first half of the saying. And I will tell you the second half at the end of the story. But the other titles were Just Another Tuesday and Pay Bills, Wash Car. So that morning, I got up and it was like, there's just mornings where I'm like, oh, it's one of those mornings. Like, I drop something or, you know, it's like right away I get this signal where it's like, okay, move slow. This is going to be one of those funky days where things are kind of off. You know, bumped your head, stubbed your toe, whatever kind of things were happening. And it's kind of cool because as, you know, I got older and I would say as of late, I kind of laugh at it. Like, I can recognize it right away. And this was kind of like that in the very morning. But it was weird how there were repetitive things. So, you know, like, to give you an example, let's say you opened a bag of chips and then the chips blew up. Kind of that. I was doing something with water. And, you know, I don't know, you know, you put something too close and all of a sudden it splatters. So that happens. So like water splattered. And I was going to walk Zen, and I make him eggs and rice and turkey every day. So I'm like, oh, on the days I have to make the rice, it takes longer. So I'm like, oh, let me start that. And I was doing something with the rice, and all of a sudden, pfft, out of the bag. It's just like, and I was like, okay, like, that's, and it was like little bitty water things everywhere. And then it was little bitty pieces of rice everywhere. Or rice, what do you call rice? Rice kernels? Rice bits? Rice before it's cooked. And it was like, so the second time it happened, I was like, wow, that's, you know, that splatter, little things everywhere. And I can't remember what the next one was, but I was like, okay, that's, I'm like, oh, it's one of those days where just things are like whatever, like, okay, I'm spending time cleaning up, I'm spending time picking up, you know. I'm so just something that I noticed, and I don't know if it has anything to do at all with the rest of the day. But it's how it started. And I had a client. And I had a to-do list, which was install a Fire Stick or Fire TV stick, pay bills, wash car. So I was like, cool, train the client, rest of Tuesday, boom. That's what I had written down. Asterisks. What you wrote down is fantastic, but so I call this my moment with George Foreman 2. There is a gentleman that lives a half a block from me. And to give you just a, you know, what is it with George Foreman? You just picture him, old, big, bald. But But when George Foreman started fighting, he was kind of this big, mean dude. And then Muhammad Ali beat him. He became kind of a lot nicer guy because I think he was humbled. And then he became a pastor, had five boys, named them all George, and then made a bunch of cash selling the George Foreman grill. And I think he just really got happy later in life. But whenever that, no matter how old that dude is, when he smiled, he had like that baby face. I don't know, he's just, he's always kind of had that baby smile to me as he got older. Well, that's what be the one thing different. This is just a menacing looking, disgruntled, unhappy dude. So don't see him a lot. Passed him a couple times. One time he was spraying the sidewalk in front of his place. And I'm walking with Zen. And you know, you think you just stop spraying. Someone's walking by. And he just moves the nozzle a little bit and just keeps spraying. And I kind of look back and I'm, you know, just kind of shake my head. You know, again, he's kind of a big menacing dude. So about a week ago, I'm up early. It's like one of the days when I was like cold. Like it was like first time I was like, wow, I actually wore a hat. I wore a beanie. So I got, you know, sweatshirt on, you know, thermal, beanie, and I'm walking. And, you know, I'm typically on the other side of the street when I'm walking. You know, I walk out my house, turn left, and I just cross the street, and that's typically where Zen and I walk. So I'm across the street from his place. So I'm walking on that side of the street, and he's walking in the middle of the street. The street in front of my house is the Long Pre, and he's walking right in the middle of the street. I think he's got, I don't know if he's got slippers on, but no socks, shorts, no shirt. So he's just big, George Foreman looking dude walking down the middle of the street at 6:30 in the morning, just shorts on. And I'm like, you know, don't look at him, just keep walking. Again, he's kind of a big menacing looking dude. So his place is like an apartment complex, and I don't know, I want to say there's got to be like 10. It's like a single straight building that, you know, kind of goes back. And in the front, there's like this cement patio. And there's a brick wall kind of all around it. And I'm pretty positive he lives there alone. And all around that brick wall, there's spray painting, like art, you know, a bunch of different colors. I mean, none of it's real good. None of it makes sense. It's just, but it's all over. And the front brick wall of his, all painted, his gates painted, and he's got this wooden frame that's horribly built on that kind of patio that's painted. He's got lights hanging from it and wind shine. It's just like, you know, he just, you know, it's kind of like what I do inside the Zen garden, but he's doing it outside. And again, living alone in this apartment complex, well, you see him like just his car parked in front of the gate and him sitting outside once in a while. But just like, you know, whatever. For the most part, you know, it doesn't say nothing, so whatever. So I happen to have my client, and I go, okay, I'm going to go to the post office. And it was a little bit later, so it's around 10:30 in the morning on a Tuesday. And this is just, you know, it's Sunday, so this is, you know, 4 or 5 days ago. So now I'm walking outdoor, turn left, walking towards his place, but I'm on his side of the street because I'm walking. I'm going to turn again left and go to the post office. So all of a sudden I see him. He's standing in the middle of the street. He's got clothes on. But he's standing, just standing in the middle of the street. Now there's cars parked. And then, you know, it's too late. So it's, there's not a lot of room. So if a car is coming by, you know, it like what, you know. But again, just where that cat is mentally, emotionally, whatever. So I'm like, you know, again, just keep walking. You know, Zen's right next to me, and, you know, we're just walking. And all of a sudden, he goes, put that, I don't know if he swore or not. I'm not sure if he did at this point. He goes, put that dog on a leash. Now, right away, you know, Tom 8.5, the newest version, episode number 373, is going, okay, I know exactly what you would typically do, say, in this moment, when someone tells you what to do with Zen. And then, you know, it's like, you know, Zen's walking, but if he had a leash on me, he would be right where he is now. You know what I mean? It wouldn't look any different at all. And it, again, it happens so fast, but my mind works so quick. So I'm thinking, okay, da, 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 da. And I just keep walking. I go, mind your own business. No profanity. I didn't yell. I didn't, you know, and I was like, way to go, Tom, inside my head. And comes back, F you, mother effer. And I was like, wow. Like, all the way there? I'm like, and that stopped me. And I slowly turned around. And it's like, again, going, okay, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Evolve. Don't get in the mud. You know, you're working on your, you know, all that stuff's running through my head. And I look at him and go, you having a bad day? He's like, yeah. And I go, well, you should be careful. Those cars are coming by. And you can get hit. He's like, let them come. I just turned around and kept walking. So I got, you know, a little rapid heartbeat, not bad. And I'm thinking, you know, overall way to go. So turn left, walk half a block, realize I forgot my money. So now I got to go back home, get the money, and come back to the post office, which means potentially walking by that dude three more times. So I'm like, you know what, just go up a block north, walk around the other way to avoid him. I'm like, way to go, Tom. Avoiding conflict. You know, just applause from the Toms in the audience for how the new version of Tom is handling everything. Again, it's not like it's fun feeling. I don't want to walk, you know, a different way to go home. But I'm like, whatever. I just don't want to deal with the dude. And again, he's got a big menacing looking dude. So I get home, grab the money, walk out the door. And I'm like, okay, I'm not going to walk the long way. And it's like, got to be 15 minutes, maybe 20 minutes later. Can't still be out there. Au contraire, mouvoir. So I start walking and I see him and I'm on his side. I'm thinking, okay, should I not go to the other side? You know, because I already start thinking, okay, you know, is he going to be the same? Is he going to be, you know, just avoid? I'm like, avoid, danger, warning. And in my head just goes, just walk, just keep walking on this side, just, you know, head down, walk fast, just get by him and, you know, get by him, basically. And as soon as I get close, George Foreman number two comes rushing. I mean, he doesn't walk real fast. He's got a little something with his gait. But he rushes over and gets next to the street sign and then grabs the street sign kind of like in between the street sign and his wall blocking. And I don't know what he said, but it was like, you know, get that dog. Like, you're not walking here. You're not walking by my house on this side or something like that. And he's got this glint in his eye. And I'm like, what are you doing, you know? And all of a sudden he grabs this, like adjusts the street sign and he does something. I go, what are you doing? And he smiles. He goes, I'm going to hit you. And now in the next moment, I'm not really sure what happened, but he was going to grab or swung. And then I moved quick and both my flip flops flew off, which is dope. Cause like there I was barefoot ready. Cause that's how if I'm going to do something, I'm going to be barefoot. And I was like, oh, no. Okay. Oh, sorry. See, I got all excited. Right before, when he walked up and got right in my face, I got close. And I just looked right in his eyes and I said, look, I know you're having a bad day. I said, but it's about to get a lot worse. And that's when I think he went to grab me or do something. And then I moved quick. My flip-flops flew off. And part of me thinks I did like a little leg kick, but I really can't remember. I just remember this moment when he kind of grabbed onto the sign with both hands and like wound up to throw this kick. And this is when it shifted. Because I was like, once my flip-flops were off, it was like, okay, I'm barefoot. Like when I'm barefoot, it's on. And it was so funny because it just, I explained, you know, my heart was kind of pumping the first time I walked by him and then I saw him again. You know, I was really aware of like, da, 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 da. And all of a sudden I just got calm And this is when it's like all this stuff comes back to me. Like when I would fight in tournaments, people are like, oh, do you hear me yelling for you? I'm like, no, I do not hear anything. Like it's me and that dude in a gym all by ourselves. And it's totally quiet. So homeboy throws this kick and I catch it. And I'm just looking at him. And his eyes start getting big and I go, now what? And he's just like holding on to that street sign. Like he's in the ocean holding on to a life buoy. And I took a little step back, pulled his leg, straightened his leg. I said, now what? His eyes got bigger. I took another step back, pulled his leg, straightened it. I mean, he not in the splits per se, but I'm pulling it. I was just like, calm. I wrote down in my notes, calm as F, C-A-F. Because I was just like, that's, and again, this is like explaining how I work. Like I spend a bunch of time in fear and in bad situations and in fighting and sparring. I've just done that a lot. So it's not unfamiliar. I just like in third grade, the heartbeat and the anxiety prior to is like exactly the same. And after. But during, there's just like this, okay, now I'm doing this. So his eyes are big, and I got his leg all the way pulled back, and I'm just sitting there looking at him like, "What? You know what? I told you your day was about to get worse." So I just start walking. Look, I'm just looking at him, like 2 feet away from his. He can't do anything. Like he's falling down, bending on the one leg. I got his other leg lifted up. He's holding on for dear life, and I'm just looking at him. And I start walking around the sign. Doop, doop. What's he doing? Slowly falling down to the ground. He had to. It's like a corkscrew, like I screwed him into the ground. And I finally got down, and his one leg was kind of bent, and then his other leg came around, and I just pushed it around. So his legs were kind of wrapped around the sign. I'm just holding that foot. He's a big dude, big belly, so he couldn't lean up. And he's just sitting there on his back now, legs crunched up around this sign, and I'm up over him. And there it was. He was powerless. He now became the victim. And this was like my father, any bully. This was the moment. And I was like, I was walking by with my dog, with my head down, not even looking at you. And I turned the cheek and I walked away. I bit my tongue. And then when you even approached me on the sidewalk, I tried to walk around you, and that's when you, I don't know, when you went at me or shoved me or whatever. And then when you swear and, you know, curse in the same sentence with my dog, I mean, you're not in a good place. And that's when I was like, that's when the anger came out. So I had that one foot out, up, and I just did this little snap kick. Totally controlled, right to his groin. Boom, on point. He's like, ugh! Makes a funny noise. Eyes get big. And I'm like, yeah. Yeah, now I'm going to do something. I reached over. I picked up a flip-flop. And I'm holding him with one hand, holding that foot. Like, he can't even move. And I grabbed that flip-flop, and I whacked him as hard as I could in the head. Now, again, I'm completely aware of what I'm doing. I'm not out of control. I'm just going, okay, now, this is what you wanted. This is what you get. This is what bullies get. You wanted a bad day. Now you got a bad day. And then I just swung like kind of one more time, faked up high. And his arms went up and I threw a little another snap roundhouse kick to his rib and he made another funny noise. And he was kind of talking like in between the noises, crap, the whole time. And I just knew like he wasn't going to stop. And then I think someone like was driving up and, you know, it kind of probably looked funny, 10:30 a.m. on a Tuesday, and this dude on the ground and me above him. I just went over and grabbed my flip-flops and walked away. And then this is when the heart starts beating, and it was a half a block to the post office, and I got to put a mask on. I'm in the post office with this mask on, trying to calm my heartbeat and going, what? Like, this is a Tuesday. 10:30 a.m., like a nice sunny day. I'm walking to the post office. I'm 55 and a half. I'm like, how does this when does this happen? And who does this happen to? Why does... And it wasn't bad, but it was just, that's what all, like the floodgate. Like during, it was just like, oh yeah, I do this. This is the one thing I do good. Let's do that. Let's play. Before it, I'm like, oh, you know, because I'd walk by this menacing looking dude a few times. I'm like, look down, look away. I mean, you don't need to start. And this dude's obviously, you know, off his, you know, spindle. You know, there's something up with him. And I'm pretty sure as of late, he's walking around angry. And he was obviously really angry that day. But he was going to do that to someone else. And one of the people I told was Mosier, and the story. And he said, you know, most people don't have options like you do. And I'm like, I think that's just partly true. So the whole walk, it was like, okay, you know, self-analysis. And then there was the urge to call. Like I was like, oh, I gotta call Scott, man. I just gotta tell somebody. And this was the cool part now, because now I'm like, now I'm analyzing it. And you gotta stop, pause, and you gotta kind of separate. And I was like, well, why do I want to call? Like, well, what's that urge? I gotta share. Like, you gotta share this. Why? I'm like, I need to get it out. I'm like, well, why? What's the, you gotta get it out. And I'm like, well, you have like a built up level of emotion, and it's just staying there, like percolating, like the tea going off the whistle. You know, it's like, okay, you need to take this off the burner now. You know, I needed to, and it was, this was the one of the coolest moments. But I was like, oh, see, that's why I want to call. It's like I need to kind of get it out, like a release. And I go, well, I know I'm going to talk about it on the podcast. I go, why don't I just write it down right now? Because I know that will help me get it out of my head. And I grabbed paper, started writing 5 pages of a really detailed account, and then felt better after. And I was like, how cool is that? Again, posting moment. Like, you're like, I want to tell someone. I'm like, well, why do you want to tell someone? What's that about? All right, well, don't. And just write it out and see how you feel. And then I felt fine. And then it was 48 hours later. And I trained Mosier again. And that's when I told him. And that was like the first thing where I was like, okay, I don't feel any like better that I told him now. Like, I don't like, oh, that's a, it was like, you know, something I wanted to share. I'm close with Scott. And then during that, I was like, you know, I hope you don't think different of me. You know, 55 and a half, and I'm still doing this. And one of his statements that he said before, you know, just in our chats, he goes, I don't have a relationship with violence. You know, so here's like a good friend of mine, and I'm like, you know, here's this guy, and I was walking by, and but you know, it's like this whole thing, and I'm like, what's he thinking? Like, why don't you just... And that was part of the thing about even like the podcast, sharing it on there. It's not like, hey, and I'm, you know, well, I got X amount of listeners, you know what I mean? Anything I do or say, I'm not going to get a bunch or lose a bunch. You know, I'm just sharing, or I'm not trying to. You know, I'm not going to, oh, I'm going to say stuff this way and hopefully I get a bunch of people, or say something that's so out of whack that I would lose a bunch of people. So again, it's just not my intention to gain listeners or get anything or make people mad or distant. You know, there's no intention with what I'm saying. It's just I'm going to share what happened. And then the next time I shared it was just yesterday with one, I got one neighbor that I talked to, you know, a few, you know, high and little conversations, but this cat, I've shared some stuff with him, and he's got a dog named Martin, and Zen and Martin are really good friends, and I really dig Martin, so that's kind of bonding us, and he's like right next door. So he goes, hey, I'm going to go walk to the post office. I went, hey, I got a story for you. And it was the same thing when I got done. I thought, you know, should I have done it? I'm like, I'm just chatting. I wasn't trying to get anything. Don't analyze it. And I said, but the net result, and I wrote this down. go to my notes. Okay, so my process. I'm super okay with me. Do I wish it didn't happen? Yes. Would I do it differently? Nope. So the title was My Pit Bull is Harmless. And my shirt says that. And the next line of the shirt says, it's me you need to worry about. I got home and I realized I was wearing that. I was wearing that shirt. My pit bull is harmless. It's me you need to worry about. That dude said, hey, leash your dog. I wish I would have had the wherewithal to go, bro, read my shirt. My dog don't need to be on a leash. He's not the problem. It's me. And I just thought that was hella funny. Then I got home and I saw my shirt and I'm like, poetic. Now, here's poetry. This is where it gets funky to me. Not funky, but I leave there. I mean, I got home from the post office, did what I needed to do, and I needed to run errands. I was going to pay bills and wash my car. So now I put everything I needed in the envelope and I needed to drive my car the same exact way just so I could drop off the mail and then continue driving and go finish my errands. And, so the heart's beating already, me driving by, is he out there? Is this that? And I drove by and I just kind of slowed down and there he was sitting in this chair in the shade with his head in his hands. And I just thought, told you your day was going to get worse. So I start running my errands and I went to get money and the ATM didn't work. And then I went to pay for something and that place was closed. And I was like this day's still going on. And in the background, and I mentioned this client who said, Tom, buy this camera, buy this whatever. And I'm like, after thinking it, wow, he knows me so well. And I was thinking, and I would actually go buy it. And I guess it was Prime Day and I was training him. And he goes, hey, you should get one of those Fire TV sticks. I went, well, I've heard about that. What's that? And he's like, well, you'll get Netflix and Prime just like you do, but you don't get, iTunes. And I'm like, well, I don't need that. My Apple TV's like old and I've been having problems with it. And it's this Fire TV stick's like $50 and it's on sale for 30. And by the end of me buying it for whatever discount I got or whatever, it was like $21 shipped. So I got like 30 some dollars off. I got this Fire stick and it's like, plug in the USB, turn on, plug in the power and turn it on and go. It sat there for like a week because that's the stuff that just drives me nuts. And I got this big, I guess you call it entertainment center, low profile, that's crazy heavy. And I got to pull that out. And my TV is up against the wall and the USB plugs are behind it. And there's just no room. So I was drudging even just moving everything to get to the plug. But then it's like once I plug it in, it's typically like that's when something doesn't work. And it's like step three. And I'm like, well, two didn't work. And I'm stuck and I'm calling everybody I know for help. So I was kind of stressing about that. But I got it like to a certain point. And I'm like, okay, I'm good for now. Let me go, do A, B, or C or whatever it was. So it was like kind of on and off working on that Fire Stick thing throughout the day. And then you get to a point and it asks for your passwords. And I don't know if I've mentioned, I think I mentioned this on the podcast, but this past year I bought Word document online. I've always had Word document on my computer and for some reason I had to buy it. They're all separate things now. And I got the whole new, updated software package Word and one of my documents was just gone and it was my passwords. So that was fun. So now when I get something, it's like, cause you got to guess and reset, but it's not always an option. And this just became the huge you know, task of the day was finishing it with finding passwords, resetting passwords. But again, that is my weak area. And I didn't reach out to my Canadian assassin producer, Nico. That's how I'm going to try to do this by myself kind of a thing. So that's going on in the background. I'm out there trying to pay bills, and I'm like, you know, the Fire Stick is hovering. That's not finished. And if I don't fix that, it's like there's no TV. So there's no nothing. And I'm like, why? I should have just left it. Because if I'm drained after today, I want to just go home and, you know, veg to a movie, not come home and try to fix something technically. So I'm just, but I kept going. This is where I was like, I'm just going to keep going. You know, no matter what it came in front of me, no matter what's on my mind, it's going to kind of keep going. And I had to go all the way home to then do another thing so I could go to the other bank so I could get money so I could go back. And I was like, ding, ding, ding. And then I was like, at one point, I was like, what else was it? Like, oh, yeah, wash my car. And I'm like, oh, I'm like, just go wash your car. Like, it was like, what? I'm like, what are you going to do? You got nothing to do. Go wash your car. So I went. And I have mentioned my little nemesis for a while. They used to live here in apartment 15. I think he lived here for like 3, maybe 4 years. And I just like, this dude's never moving. And his, you know, boyfriend was living with him. And, you know, they're lying about that. And he was always there. And he had a key. And he was giving me, you know, staring at me and giving me. And I just disliked these two dudes more than anything. And that's when it became my test. And I really started working, going, hey, you haven't, because they just avoid, that dude's crazy. And they started not walking by my apartment, not, you know, just avoiding me, you know, I'm like, well, there you go. That's a perfect world. Like, they don't walk by. They don't, you know what I mean? They completely avoid you. That's perfect. But I'm like, yeah, but I open my door and I just see their apartment. And I'm like, well, that's your problem. You know, you're going to have things all over that bug you. So it was just great. Like, that became the thing that I'm like, okay, if I can deal with that dude. And it was just slowly, you know, I sent out this quote. And it was about, you let go a little and you feel a little good. You let go a lot and you feel a lot better. And pretty soon I was just over him. And one day I saw him. I'm like, okay, that looks like they're moving stuff out. And I'm like, do not get excited. And it was later that afternoon. And then their door was open. And I could tell, like, the apartment was half empty and they were moving. And I was like, literally put both arms up in the air. But it was like the next day where I'm like, well, it's not like, oh, my world's so much better. But over the, it's got to be, I want to say 6 months. I think it was before the pandemic they moved out. I love it that they're not here. You know what I mean? It's just like I could just walk by that apartment and never think twice. And, you know, just, so I do love that they're not here. Tuesday, 1:30-ish in the afternoon. How many car washes are there in L.A.? And I go to the one I always go to. And there's two cars kind of waiting. All the spots are full. And I'm like, oh. Like, if I pull up and the slots are full, I'm just like, I'll wash it later. I'll wash it tomorrow. There's no emergency. There's two people waiting. And I'm like, I'll just wait. Like, what? Again, I kept going, pay your bills, wash your car. You know what I mean? It's like, all right, whatever. And I start looking to my left, and I'm a little bit behind. So the guy, you know, in this vehicle is just a slightly to my left, a slightly ahead of me. So I don't think he notices me. And then all of a sudden he kind of adjusts his car, like he's pointing it more away from me, pulling up kind of behind this slot. Because now it's like, even if they're here before, like there's no room for any cars now where we are to back up, move. So if the spots to my right, there's like two of them, three of them. If they open up, I got those spots. So we're kind of stuck where we are. I start looking and I go, that. And then they look and there it is, the front like taillight on the passenger side was busted and he duct taped it. Apartment number 15. And I'm like, you are got to be. I'm like, the dude this morning on the street, everything that's gone on, and I am like, you know, 20 feet away. And I just roll my windows up. And I don't know if he had noticed me or not, but he might have looked and said, oh, that, you know, might look, because he knew what my car looked like. And I just, this, and again, now here was like the other great part of the day. Because this is like, you know, go say something, you know, just go up there, go now, you know, I can do anything I want to now. You know, I don't, you know what I mean? You live next to someone, you're like, okay, I don't want a big thing going on. I don't want that yuck. I don't want, you know, so the less I, you know, less energy I put into them, the less yuck I felt. But I'm like, he's out. You can go say something, you know, do anything you want right now. And I was like, I'm just going to wash my car. So my side opens up. And I was like, oh, man, like, I love him. Like, I hope he does notice me, and I hope he does notice that I'm just going to go ahead and pull forward and wash my car. So I'm in there washing my car. And, you know, you come around the back, you know, one side of your car, and you kind of step out. And, you know, so I'm like, well, I know he's got to. He's got to notice me now. And I'm like, don't care. I'm washing my car. Like, I'm like, I know what I'm going to focus on. And I'm like, dude, don't matter. I was like, dude, wash your car, and dude, don't matter. Got done washing my car, pulled over. And, you know, there's slots now with vacuum cleaners, machines. And I think there's two spots and a vacuum set up and two spots. So there's a one spot open next to a car. And I pulled in there because I'm like, I don't want it to be where there's one spot open and he pulls out. It's next to me. Well, then that car pulls out. And I'm like, whatever. And I just shifted. And I was like, you know, I handled George Foreman too. You know, it's 1:30 in the afternoon. Look at my day already. I can handle anything. So I start drying my car. And I can see him washing his, like, just, you know, once I'd washed, turned around a certain way and looked, and, you know, there he was. It wasn't like I was looking at him or anything. And I just kept doing what I was doing. And next thing you know, he was gone. He didn't pull, he didn't park. He didn't drive his car. And I'm like, fantastic. He's like, I'm getting out of here. Or, 'cause I'm pretty sure he's a dry your car after you wash it kind of dude. But the fact that he just bolted, it kind of made me chuckle because of, I'll pick a story. He's like, I'm getting out of here. Like, I'm fine. I'll pull up next to you. I'll sit here. I'll wash my car. I'll dry my car. I'm fine. You know, you want to come say something? I'm right here. And the dude ran out. You know, so it was just like this day where it was like, number one, responding and accepting there's going to be uncomfortable moments. But then, you know, this thing that stuck with me is like, I'm me. Like, if I was in that situation 10 times, I'd do the same exact thing. I never threw a punch. I never clenched my fist. I never yelled. I never cursed. I didn't throw an elbow. I didn't throw a knee. I mean, I could have jumped up in the air and stomped on his groin. I could have sat there, kick, 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 kick. You know, instead of using the flip-flop, I could have used my, you know what I mean? So it wasn't like, when I look back on it, I'm like, I was in complete control, dismantling a bully with a street sign, catching his foot, and a flip-flop. Now, today's Sunday, and I started thinking about, I really walked down this street a lot, and his car's moved a few times, but I haven't seen him outside once. No. I don't know what that means. If it means he's a bit more timid and doesn't want to be outside and learn that that anger should be expressed a different way, then super fantastic. Because I wasn't looking for round two. I wasn't looking for his next reaction. Because the next day when I was going to walk by, I was like, man, you know, what if dude pulls out a gun? You know, those type of thoughts. And he doesn't seem like that type of guy. I mean, but living alone with all the wackoness outside his place and being that angry. I mean, no idea. So I was just a little like, you know, hey, when you walk by, just, you know, heads up, look out, see if he's out. And, you know, after a while, I was like, I just look, he's not there, and just walk by, and it just kind of faded. But when I was telling, I ended up walking Zen again last night, and Michael, my neighbor that I told, was outside with Martin, and I stopped, and then Michael's girlfriend came out, and we started chatting. She's like, oh, you know, I heard what happened. And I said, my conclusion is that, you know, it's not a feel-good thing. You know, there's no, you know, telling people, like, oh, I felt better, or, you know, there's not a really feel-good thing. I said, but, I said, I would have done the same thing. I wouldn't have changed it. You know, and it's like, well, I mean, oh, this is the thing I told. I said, when I got home, I said, I ordered sushi, you know, because I paid my bills and I washed my car in lieu of all of that stuff. I got it all finished. And it was like, I don't know, like 4 o'clock or something. I go, I'm going to get sushi and watch a movie. If the Fire Stick, well, I'd finally get all the passwords and it worked. And it works fantastic. And it's super fast. And I'm totally stoked. And I like getting rid of like the older thing. And when I had, you know, when I was behind there, you know, the entertainment center, you know, I was cleaning and, you know, just it's organized, it's better, it's cleaned. And again, this Fire Stick is amazing. So it's like, boom, Netflix, boom, movie. And I hadn't, I don't think I shared this, a quick tangent. I got into watching NCIS. I have no idea why, but I think it's my favorite show all time. I watched the entire 15 seasons that are on Netflix. I watched Criminal Minds, all of it, twice, because I loved that show. But not like NCIS. And I don't know, not a clue. I mean, I was like literally thinking about it day to day, or when I would watch it going, what is it? I was laughing out loud, and I don't laugh out loud. I was crying, like, there'd be like 3-4 episodes in a row, and I would cry every, I'm like, what? This show's amazing. So anyways, I wasn't really watching anything else, but like if I saw a movie, I'd throw it on my queue, and there's a movie with John Travolta and Ethan Hawke called In the Valley of Violence. I'm like, Ethan Hawke, John Travolta, Western. No brainer. So I'm at home, got my sushi, made it through my terrible Tuesday. It wasn't a terrible Tuesday. But, you know, it was a Tuesday of tests. And in my heart, I believe I passed them all, thus sushi celebrate movie. So I start watching this movie. And it's kind of got that Rambo 1 vibe. Ethan Hawke just passing through a town. Don't start any trouble. Nose down, quiet. All by himself and a dog. So this is where it connects, because his loudmouth starts shooting off his mouth. And long story short, just a quick one punch thing, Ethan Hawke's on his way, and John Travolta, who's the dad of that big mouth and the sheriff, tells Ethan Hawke, going, look, my son's got a big mouth, I get it, but you can't stay here, you need to leave. And Ethan Hawke's like, fine, I'm done, I'm gone. Ethan Hawke leaves. He's camping that night, you know, got as far as he could before nightfall. And the Ding Dong's son and his boys come out, follow him, find him, kill his dog. Ethan Hawke is like this ex-military guy, killer. I'm going to go back, I'm going to kill all four of you and whoever else gets in my way. And there's a line in there when he grabs one of those bullies and he says, I'm not afraid of men like you. And it was just like, you know, because I thought about like my dad for a minute, and I thought about the bullies I don't like, and I thought about that button being pushed. And when I looked at that guy, and I'm like, you know, he got in my face, like I ran over to that sidewalk and I got in front of his face and I just looked at him. You're having a bad day, but it's about to get worse. And I meant that. Like, literally, it was like, trust me on this one. Like, not trying to bullshit you right now. Like, look, I'm a secondary black belt, and here's my list of tournaments I won. You know, I'm not trying to share my resume, but I'm like, look, dude, I'm telling you right now, this is not going to go well for you, because I am not afraid of you. And I guess it's weird. Like, I got like 20-some movies on that queue, and I picked that one. Now, a Western, of course, is going to be some, but I mean, just for the moral of the story, you effed with my dog. Now it doesn't matter. It's like, yep, got it. Because Zen wasn't the point of it. And that's what I'm saying. After all, this dude did that. Look at my dog once. You know what I mean? So it never was about Zen not being on a leash. But just, you know, the dog, Zen's by me, I'm walking protective. You know, I said I walk around kind of in this ready stance. And I'm like, that's kind of work. I kind of want to work through not having that. And I'm like, you know, I wasn't stretching. I wasn't warmed up. I wasn't, you know, I hadn't done anything. I was just walking to the post office. And, okay, I got to pay this. I got to, okay, then I got to go back home. And I get in the car. And I got to, you know, it's like, I was like, hey, what? And, all right, well, here's, I'm sure the whole thing lasted all of 3 minutes. But, you know, then the car wash, run into the apartment 15, dude. But again, end of the day, Fire Stick, watching it, sitting there, chilling, celebrate, and then I watch that movie, and I'm watching the movie, and I'm just nodding. Like, yep, that makes sense to me. And I'm like, it's that thing going, you know, I'm not like, oh, wow, here's this cool thing about Tom. I'm like, well, here's the thing about Tom. And, you know, I've mentioned things before, and people are like, man, you got to be careful. And I'm like, dude, I'm 55 and a half. In eighth grade, I got into a fight. And he hit me twice, and I hit him once, and he cut me above my eye. But after the second punch, it got broke up. I didn't fall down. I didn't quit. I didn't run away. I didn't cry. But did he win? Yeah. And then I graduated, so it was like a year out of college, living with a friend in Minneapolis, went to the Dairy Queen, and three dudes started staring at us, and we walked out of the Dairy Queen, and they parked their car and came out after us. And my other, it was like one of the dudes just kind of hung out with my other friend. Like they were just gonna, like my other friend wasn't fighting, but he was gonna keep him. And then I had to deal with the other two. And I got hit with a brick and then I'm assuming kicked in the mouth because my lip was split and the back of my head was opened up. And they found the brick. So those are the two fights, two encounters that I would say I lost. I mean, obviously, the Rick one I really lost, and the other one on points. But like I said, I don't walk around looking for fights. I don't go around, you know, trying to see, you know, test myself or whatever. It's just like really badass, like say some 200-pound UFC fighter. Okay, they're going to get in trouble fighting. But they've been training. They're martial artists in some shape or form, professional athletes, and they don't street fight. They don't have that problem. Yes, some do. There's bad apples and everything. But it's like you don't run into people on the street in the middle of the road who, oh, also happen to be, no, this guy happened to be a big, angry dude. But, I mean, maybe back in the day he was, you know, fit and fast and a fighter. I mean, dude was definitely not unfamiliar to fighting. Dude was, you know, smiling, had a twinkle in his eye when he wasn't making a funny noise. But just kind of accepting, going, okay, there's people that aren't going to understand this. It was like, well, one day. And I'm like, well, you know, I'm not looking for that test at all. Like, again, I avoided this dude up until I couldn't avoid this dude. Then I'm like, okay, now I'm going to flip this switch. And I got that switch, and I'm really comfortable and confident in that switch. So it wasn't like a real big, you know, it wasn't a stretch for me. And again, I didn't like how I felt before. I really didn't like how I felt after. And just, I got home, and one of the images I had was third grade, second grade, whatever it was, Keith Sands, loud. Like, we'd just yell at other kids, and we'd be like, wow, what's that? He was cursing, and we're like, I mean, you know, whatever grade going on, you know, I haven't even heard those words. And this is like another kid, and he's saying I'm loud, and he's bullying kids. And, I mean, he was just terrorizing the class. And one again, I don't know if I ever threw a punch before this. I just remember going, okay, stop that, and I'm next. Something. And it went down, and I ended up winning. And I remember like 30 seconds later, I walked away by myself and I was crying. And I'm like, that's just weird. It was like that consistently. Some walking home, kid in a bike's driving the other way and looks at me and I just kind of keep walking. All of a sudden, he's did a U-turn. He pulls up. He's like, what's your problem? And I'm like, what? Like, I'm walking. What? And he puts down his bike and hits me and I hit him like 5-6 times. He's like, wow, you're fast. I mean, I remember this as a kid. Got on his bike and left. And I started walking 30 seconds later, started crying. So it's like I'm sitting there, just George Foreman 2, holding his leg, looking at him, take a little step back. Now what? take a step back. Now what? I was calm. Like, I'm just like, all right, I'm just chilling. Again, it was him and I in a vacuum. Like I said, I mean, I know how dope Zen is. And I can just completely ignore him. And I do that multiple times a day, all the time, at the beach especially. But in that moment, I completely had no idea what he was doing. If he was sitting, smelling, if he was like, what you know, what's going on? If he was by, not a clue. It wasn't until that very end when I just did that last little kick and then I looked at him and I'm done. And that's when, like I said, like this car pulled up and I went and just grabbed my flip-flops and there was Zen. I said, come on. We just went walking and we were on our way. So what's my point? I have some notes, but I think I'm just going to end it there. I kind of, my thought was, don't look at your notes, just start telling the story, share the whole story, and that'll be the episode. My pit bull is harmless. It's me you need to worry about. So if you see me walking and my pit bull's end doesn't have a leash on, don't worry, he's harmless. He won't do anything. He'll want to say hi. He'll want you to pet him. But he's harmless. But if you do anything to Zen, it is me that you need to worry about. So my point, though, honestly, is like there was, I think the word was acceptance. Like in 2 years, if that moment happened, I'd probably do the same thing. Like, again, I'm going to work on the walking away and, you know, turning the cheek, you know, whatever. But I know that that dude who was willing to do that to me, he would have done it to someone else. And maybe that person didn't have options and then got hurt. I'm like, you know, and just, again, like, I see something that looks, smells like my father. Shh. Because I had shared this. It was right after my sister Tammy's funeral. And my dad started in at me the moment we got in the door. So I went outside to leave. And he came out and just starts ripping it. Why are you doing this to me? And it's the day I died. And this is this whole rant. I'm like, and like 5 minutes later, he's like, that's why I'm out here, to apologize. And I'm like, like I was baffled. Like, you can't come out spewing shit and then say you came out here to apologize. That's pretty much dampened. And I remember I just snapped. It was the only time I think I ever snapped at my dad. And I just got in his face and I cranked up my hand, my fist, and he totally flinched. And I said, "Did you remember that?" I went home to surprise him on Father's Day. I was 40, and he raised his fist at me in the basement. And I just looked at him. I said, "Oh, you're gonna hit me?" Like, I didn't even like move. I just looked at him. Like, go ahead. I dare you. I double dog dare you. Well, part of me, like, I knew he was faking. That was it. Like, oh, you're going to hit me? Like, I knew he wasn't going to. But I know there's a little part of me deep down inside that would have been like, no, really, do that. Go ahead, throw that punch. That would be fantastic. So I don't know what I would have done to my father. But when it was just in this box, big bully, it was just, I'm going to whack you in the head with a flip-flop while I'm holding you, powerless, just so you know. I don't know if you just thought I was an old dude because I got a white beard, or you thought I was a skinny white dude, or I don't know what he thought, but I'm like, now you know what it feels like, because you know that dude has bullied people. He didn't, you know what I mean? He didn't just turn that way. So I just, like, you know, you got to accept yourself. You know, you got to understand you. And again, I, like I said, get down with this podcast, and I'm not expecting a bunch of people to go, yep, I agree with you. I expect, you know, 50% to be like, I get it, and 50% to say, I don't get it. Maybe more don't get it. I'm just saying, I'm accepting myself. I'm loving myself. And it's not because I'm perfect, I got everything down. It's because I'm flawed, but I'm working on those flaws, and I'm highly aware of the flaws I've improved on. I'm highly aware of the flaws that I've rid myself of. And I'm highly aware of the flaws that I'm currently working on. And I walked by that dude how many times? And when he said, get your dog on the leash, and then F you, mother effer. Now again, being a big menacing dude, I wasn't looking to jump into the into the mud with homie. You know what I mean? I wasn't at all. But, you know, once, like I said, I guess everybody's got that line that's crossed, that switch that's flipped. It's like I said, you know, I sit here now this is the third time I've shared it. In the past, if it would have been like a story like that or something crazy or something bad, I mean, I would have told it how many times each day and every client. I remember getting to the next client the next day and I was like, nah, they don't. There's no benefit. You know what I mean? Like, I really didn't care that much. Like, it just kind of came out with Michael because we were sitting around just kind of shooting the crap. And but when I first, you know, told Moshe, it was the first time I told anybody. And, you know, again, he's just a dude I like talking with. So I like bouncing things off him and sharing him. And he's like, I got a friend like that. He lives in East LA. And he was telling me, you know, I just went into another story of another friend who's kind of like that. So, you know, Scott understood there's just certain people that have a line and, you know, other people don't have a line and it's not right, wrong, good or bad. But, you know, the things I'm telling people, you know, I you know, start with a client and I see they're good. And I literally spend the rest of the time trying to get them to see the good that I see their good as I see it, how I see it, and just rid themselves of the bad. So ridding myself of the bad would be like replaying it over and, you know, thinking about this and thinking about that or beating myself up or whatever it was, feeling guilty or feeling bad. And it was just at peace, like looking back on it now, like not being mad, not swearing, not, you know, getting violent, not clenching a fist, not punching, you know, I'm going to grab, wait, let me, hold on. Hold your foot with one hand now. Stay there. I'm going to reach over. I'm going to grab my flip-flop. Okay. I mean, just the wherewithal to do that in that moment to teach a lesson. I think, way to go, Tom. And again, maybe 90% of the people listening that don't agree or don't understand. And that's okay, really. Like, I'm not telling anybody what to do. I'm just sharing what I do. But that's, you know, I got that. Like, I have been open and honest for 5.5 years in this podcast, and no one can dispute that. No one gets an opinion about that. What I have shared is real. It's happened. It's me. It's my life. It's my path. It's my journey. You know, and like I said, that's like dope to me. Like the fact that I got, you know, I'll say it. I got the courage to say that. I got the courage to share everything in my life. Like, it doesn't matter how many people like it. I'm like, that's the, because again, being a scared boy, being a lost dude and trying to do all these things that never really materialized or mounted anything of worth until I stopped and paused and looked inside. And it wasn't even my decision. It was just responding. Well, life's slowing down. Should I accept it, embrace it, and move forward and try to learn? And I did. But life kept doing things and I had no plan. But just hanging on and getting through 2 divorces and 2 wives that cheated and lied and my father and siblings and ex, just to get through all that. I'm like, standing ovation, way to go, Tom. But this is, you know, one of the notes I wrote down. I said, my life is easier than ever before. Even with, again, I went and paid my bills and washed my car. Oh my God. Anybody else got into a physical altercation like that, might have went home for the day. I'm like, and then it wasn't even still easy. Like, there were still bumps along the road and tests and running into apartment 15. It's like, how you going to do now? How you going to do now? What about this? What if this don't work out? What if you run into him? And looking back on it, I'm like, yo, that's kind of bulletproof. See, so I found my way where I get to tell stories like that and say bulletproof. That's what I'm telling you to do. Respond. Choose your responses. Deem yourself worthy. Accept being you. Accept your flaws, but work on those flaws. And then move forward. Just move forward with whatever you have and be thankful for. Because there's just good. I just think there's just real good waiting for anybody that will deem themselves worthy. So remember, number one, my pit bull is harmless. It's me you need to worry about. And number two, you are worth it. Welcome to your pro-you moment. I really am glad you're here. I think it's dope whoever hangs out after. Like, I listen to the podcast, but then I stop. Why would you listen to the end part? So if you're listening, thank you. Because I know you gotta believe that there's value in it for you. Or why else would you be here? So let's control those things we can't. Seated on the floor, eyes closed, neutral neck, shoulders over the hips, navel tucked into the spine. We're going to draw the inhale through the nose. We're going to exhale out the mouth. We're going to elongate the inhale, the exhale. We're going to slow them down. To do that, we're going to need to stay connected. We're going to connect our mind to a bodily function, the breath. And that's going to keep us occupied. And that's what we're going to focus on. If something else enters your mind, the space between your ears, calmly, kindly, ask it to leave and return to your breath. Do this to the best of your ability for 180 seconds. I will let you know when time is up. You may begin now.
Thank you.
successful pro-you moment. Moment by moment, little things collected and gathered build up over time. It's like I climbed a mountain and it was figuring out me. And at times, you feel like you're carrying the mountain. You're just supposed to climb it. Not hope it flattens out. Not hope it gets less tall. Just climb it. That's why we're here. Climb your mountain. Walk your pro-you path. It definitely tests and challenges. But there's good moments. You know that silver lining, light at the end of the tunnel, is just no bad that outweighs my good now. Just doesn't happen. That's what I would wish for you, for anyone listening. Just to get to that place where you feel in control of all that you can control. And letting go all of that which you cannot control. And you're doing it with ease and efficiency. And you're embracing it and owning it and you're thankful. That's winning. That's pro you. That's my wish. Peace and God bless.